is a part of this Bible study, this time of prayer that we're having. It just is blessing me to see everyone partake, whether you're here on Zoom, whether you're watching on Facebook, or whether you're catching this on the podcast for our quick word on Wednesday. And this is unique. This is a really something the Lord put on my heart. I didn't really understand it until we got going in it, that this was answering the biggest concern that I have of, Lord, you know, when are we going to have a Bible study? Well, of course, through the wisdom of God, we're able to march through an entire book of the Bible in 15 minutes or less. So God is good, and you all have just been amazing to start your day in the word and prayer. Want to encourage you, if you're listening and a part of this, to join the Bible reading that we're doing this week for Holy Week. You can get the Bible reading at www.theoutletcommunity.com/sermon notes. Again, it's www.theoutletcommunity.com/sermon notes. So inside of my sermon notes from yesterday, just is all the information that you'll need, as well as a connection to the Bible plan that we're reading together this week as a church family. Also, there's some information about Easter Sunday, which at the time that we're doing this is this upcoming Sunday. We're going to offer an online worship experience, a full worship experience. And then we're also going to offer an outdoor prayer communion, really informal type gathering as well on Easter Sunday morning. So if you want more information on that, go to www.theoutletcommunity.com/Easter to find out more about that. Well, all of my commercials are done this morning, and let's hop into the Word of God in the book of James, chapter 2. One thing I was talking with our Outlet Leadership Institute about is I have just gotten back to having good old faithful Bible. You know, I have my tablet, of course. I still, you know, definitely use my tablet. A lot of my Bible software is inside of here, but it's just something about, along with my Bible app, my Bible software, I still follow along with the physical book. Just for me, it helps me retain information, helps me retain what I'm reading even better. So I just want to throw that out to you to be able to do that. I love this season that we're in our church, the month of April. I will tell you all right now, I'm going to be answering a lot of the basic questions of, you know, how do we know what we believe is real? How do we know what's the whole point of the resurrection? I mean, just really basic questions that people ask about their faith and may get questions about, or may be up for discussion in mainstream in our culture. I'm going to answer all those questions all month in April at the Outlet. So you want to make sure that you're taking notes so that you can share with others. But today in James chapter 2, we're going to look at the topic real faith. So what is faith? Like, truly, many people have definitions of what faith is. Some people, you know, say that, you know, they use faith in a sentence like, you know, I'm really a person of faith, or you know, oh no, my faith, I'm really standing in faith. So my question to you is, how do you know you're standing in faith? And in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, you'll see really what I'm considering a true definition of what faith is, because what it's doing is James is actually putting feet to fire. James is saying, okay, if you're a person of faith, then this is how your life will be orchestrated. So it's not saying that in order to have faith, you have to be a person who does these 10 steps or these, you know, three things. But what James is saying, as we'll see in scripture today, is if you are standing in faith, then the natural response is that your life is going to display what you truly believe. So that's the first main point today. Your life will display what you believe. So if your life is doing something different than what you confess, your life is actually displaying what you believe. And in James chapter 2, verse 14, it says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? can that kind of faith save anyone? And so now what James is doing is he's giving instructions or an illustration to us. He says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, I'm a person of faith, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing, you know, what good does that do? He's saying, if someone is hungry and you're like, well, I'm a person of faith, and they're like, yes, but I'm hungry. Yes, but I'm a person of faith. You know, but I'm really hungry. Yes, but I believe God. And then you go about your merry way. You may be a person of faith, but that person doesn't know what you believe. Let's keep going. Verse 17 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. And so I underlined verse 17 because to me, as a person who believes in the revelation of God's grace, I began to notice tension in the middle of what I'm reading. You know, I'm a person who, as I'm reading, I'm saying, but I thought that the word says that in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works. But now James in James chapter 2, verse 17 is saying, so faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds, is dead and useless. So on the surface, I'm like, Paul and James are going in two different directions. But what I love about God's word, and whenever you're doing scriptural interpretation, the Bible will interpret the Bible. So the Bible's going to interpret itself. So if you keep reading in verse 18 of James chapter 2, now someone may agree, some people have faith, others have good deeds. He says, but I can say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? Notice that. How can you show someone else? How can you show someone else? Notice he didn't say, how can you earn God's favor by your good deeds? He says, how can you now show someone else? If you want others to know what you believe, then your life is going to do the speaking for you. And so let's drop down to verse 21. And he now goes into the story of Abraham, which is a very powerful story. You can read it in Genesis chapter, I want to say 15 all the way through chapter 22, seven full chapters. Or you can go to Romans chapter 4 and read kind of the quick version. There's so many different places that this story or the illustration of Abraham comes up. But it says, don't you remember that your ancestor Abraham was shown to be? Who was he shown to? Others. Was shown to be right with God. Not Abraham was right with God, but he was shown to be right with God. Why? By his actions. So our life is really speaking a message for others. What is your life saying? I want you to write that question down this week. What is my life saying? Let's keep going. Shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions work together. It said his actions made his faith complete. So for you to be a person who receives the grace of God and says, it's not of my works. I believe what God has done. I receive God's grace. And your life does nothing to reflect the belief that you profess. It's not saying that you don't have faith. It's saying that your faith is not yet full. Your faith is not yet complete. Your faith is not yet real to you. But when your faith gets real to you, what you'll see inside of your life is that you'll begin to order yourself according to what it is you believe. I want you to think about what you say that I'm in faith for right now, and how are you ordering your life? What are you doing? If you're saying, I believe that I am going to be a person who operates in, you know, excellent financial principles. Well, the faith of that is, where's your budget? Whatever area of your life, ask yourself, how am I proving what I profess? It said, let's drop down to verse 24. So we see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not faith alone. Again, that word to be shown right. But verse 26 is really what answers the question and the tension of the text that I had. So, God, are you saying that now I have to do something in order to prove that I'm right with you? Verse 26 actually answers the question. He says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So we all have physical bodies right now as we're listening to today's lesson. Without air, without oxygen, this body is going nowhere. And so all James is saying is when it comes to faith, you are going nowhere unless your actions align to what you believe God has already provided through Jesus Christ. If you say that you're healed, then you're going to confess, you're going to live, you're going to do what's necessary. One thing that, you know, is a real project of mine this year is my physical fitness. And I realized something as, you know, we're making it a point to work out. We got these little Apple Watch things and, you know, I got people in the church. We all kind of keep each other accountable who are on the Apple Watch. And one thing I realized is that if you want to look like a person in shape before you're in shape, you have to do the actions that in shape people do. That is the congruence of faith. That's what makes your faith real. So I want you all to leave today with this question of what is my life saying? And then in what you profess, what is the difference between what you profess and how you're orchestrating your life? Amen. So we're going to close out today in prayer. If you have a prayer request, please text me 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. Or you can email your prayer request and even your praise report at prayer@theoutletcommunity.com. We do have some prayer requests today for our community. One of our community members, I know for sure, will be having a procedure done in the next couple of hours. And so right now I'm going to say, just looking at the stats just here on Zoom, this is one of the largest recharges that we have had to date. So I just want to get everyone on recharge to increase, you know, just their faith. I want you all to be in agreement right now as we pray and cover our church members. If you have any prayer requests, we're going to stand in proxy for you as well. So let us pray today. Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. You are so good. You are so awesome. Thank you, Lord, for just a community that is awake, a community that is together, a community that is aligned and are doing what your word says in Matthew 6:33. We're going to seek you first in all that we do. And so that's what we're doing right now, Lord. We just ask for your wisdom. We ask for your guidance. We ask just for your plan to be revealed in our life. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for what this week in our Christian faith represents. It represents that we serve a risen and an alive Savior who paid the penalty of sin so that we could do what we're doing right now. And in Hebrews 4, as it says, we are able to come boldly before the throne of grace. So we aren't timid. We are praying prayers of faith. We are praying bold prayers. We are standing on your word, even in the midst of the storm. So, Father, we lift up our family member. We lift up our church member, our church family right now who has a procedure. Lord, we say that their procedure shall go well. Every doctor, every technician, every nurse assistant, every person they come in contact with, they will be led of you and they will know what to do. Father, we speak right now a supernatural recovery, no complications. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person who's experiencing symptoms of sickness and disease, for this is going throughout the entire world as we're sharing this time of prayer. God, you are with them. You are for them. Most importantly, Lord, I'm praying in the name of Jesus for people under any type of pressure, any type of just fear that is trying to take hold and to grip their lives. We break it by the power and the authority given to us by Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord, that their steps are ordered by you. Father, you are with them right now where they are. So help them to know it. We lift up our church family, Lord, and we just thank you that over this more than a year that we have had to navigate these times, that you've kept our church together. You kept the families of the outlet just moving forward. So we thank you for not only the outlet, but just in our world in general, Lord. And we come against any type of policy, any type of laws that will try to disproportionately affect people of color. Just Lord, as we're in our prayer time, not only are we noticing these things, but give us the wisdom to act in our communities, Lord, because you called us to be the lights in this world. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless y'all. Let's have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I can't wait to see y'all next time. So God bless you all.